We're in Ephesians chapter 5. Please open your Bibles. Let's read this text in English, verse 15 and 16. See, or be careful, that you walk circumspectly, that is, wisely, not as fools, but as wise men, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So as Christians, as believers, as those that God has adopted as his spiritual children, God calls us out of this world, out of the darkness, and into his light. This calling that God calls us with is a worthy calling. And God commands, beginning with chapter 4, that we live this life humbly, that we live this life in unity with one another as Christians, that we separate ourselves, that our life would be visible in contrast to the world by our love and by our light. And finally, last Sunday we began this text where Paul says, and if you're going to do all of this, you need wisdom to do this. It's very difficult to do this. Paul is saying that as normal human beings, without the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, it's impossible to do this. Paul will go on in the next verses to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit that gives us power to live this kind of life. So he's making a contrast between what we can do as believers and what is impossible for those that do not have the Spirit of God. And so to live in this world as God wants us to live requires God's wisdom. There's human wisdom that you can learn in books and in colleges and universities and in libraries. And I challenge you, you can read all the books in all the world and you won't be as smart as if you simply read Scripture. Scripture alone is wise for bringing you to salvation, Paul writes to Timothy. James chapter 1 writes, if any of you lack wisdom, James is not talking about getting a PhD in, you know, astrophysics or anything like that. He's talking about spiritual wisdom, how to live this life that God calls us to live. So James says, if you don't have this wisdom, ask God, and if you ask God, believing God will grant it to you. The formula is very simple. You believe and you accept and you ask God according to his will. You never ask God for something in your life that is outside of Scripture. James repeats that several times. Solomon, remember, when God appears to him when he first becomes king, and God says, ask of me and I will give you whatever you want. And you say, oh, why couldn't I be Solomon? Right? What does Solomon ask for? He says, wisdom to be a wise king so that I would rule over the people, God, that you have given to me. Solomon had a very good intention with his wisdom. But that was human wisdom. The wisdom we need to live this life that God calls us to live is supernatural wisdom. This is spiritual wisdom that only comes to those who know Jesus Christ, who have the Holy Spirit in their lives, who teaches us these truths. Proverbs, as you begin to read the first chapters of Proverbs, Proverbs demands and asks us to seek wisdom with the same intensity that we do when we go to work to earn our living. I don't know about you, but the biblical perspective of when we go to work is to work hard as if we're doing it for Jesus Christ. And all of us pursue. That word pursue is very important. Wisdom calls out as if wisdom is walking around the streets of Los Angeles and says, catch me if you can. Kids like to play not it. You know, you have to catch the person that is it. And then the next person becomes it. And you keep passing around. The simple game, spiritually speaking, is not a game. But it's what God calls us to have, this wisdom. If you don't have it, you ask God. God will give it to you. But primarily, fundamentally, God gives it to you as you read his word. In no other book, in no other place, can you find the wisdom that you need to live this life except in the word of God. We're busy people. Nobody needs to tell me how busy somebody needs to be. We have work, we have school, we have our families, we have society, we have church, we have activities, we have a lot of things to do. But despite the fact that we're busy people, Paul says If you want to live wisely, if you want to live as God wants you to live as a Christian, number one, you have to use your wisdom to prioritize your time. God gives each of us 168 hours every week, just like He would give you a certain amount of money. Do you remember the example of the servants, the three different servants? And one got one talent, and one got two talents, and one got five talents. And when the master came back after a long time, he judged them on the basis with what they did, with what he had given and trusted them with. God has trusted you as Christians with 168 hours every week. And for you to live as a Christian wisely, you have to wisely use that time. In Scripture, there are many different words, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that describe time. The Old Testament is primarily Hebrew. The New Testament is primarily Greek. Remember in Genesis, God, when He creates things, the word used there is a specific 24-hour period of time. On day one, there was a beginning of day one and a conclusion of day one. Same thing for day two, day three, all the way up to day seven. In other places, time is referred to as a period of time of many years. Our lifetime is a specific period of time. In the New Testament, there are several different words that the apostles use as they refer to time. But the two that we are mostly familiar with is chronos, which is where we get chronology from, and it's an old word for watch. And the word in the Bible usually means our life as it happens day after day after day. So that when we look back for 1 year or 5 years or 10 years over our whole life, we have a chronology or a history of our life. The word that Paul uses here in our text today, he says redeeming the time. This word time is the word kairos, not the word chronos. And the word kairos means our life from start to finish. And very specifically, he's talking about our spiritual life as Christians. From the moment you became a Christian until the day that God will call you home through death or through the rapture of the church, that period of time is the time that God has given for you to live and to fulfill His will in your life. So number one, you have to find out what the will of God is that Paul talks about in the next verse, verse 17. You need to understand what the will of the Lord is. We'll deal with that on another Sunday. But you have the specific time period that is your Christian life. And for you to live wisely, Paul writes, you have to redeem that time. And I think we all understand the word redeem, but here Paul has a very specific meaning that was used in the Greek culture and the way of thinking. Redemption, we understand, is what Jesus Christ has done for us when He went to the cross and with His death, with Christmas and the 33 years that Jesus lived on earth, ending with His death on the cross, all of that was the plan of God for Jesus in His time. Remember Jesus, in Galatians, Paul writes about the coming of Jesus, that it came when the fullness of time had come. When the right, proper time came. And then it says, Jesus, as He ministered, when He came to the end of His ministry, He says, "My time has now come, let us go to Jerusalem." Before that, when the Jews tried to kill Jesus, Jesus said, "It is not my time." But when Jesus was ready to go to the cross, when the time came, He says, "My appointed time has come." And so Jesus understood this very same concept. And God gives us this appointed, specific period of our Christian life to live for Him. Now, when Jesus died, He redeemed us from our sins. In other words, He paid the price for our sin. This word was used in the Roman world when people would go to the supermarket to buy a slave. And that sounds very strange to us living today in America, although maybe not quite that long ago, we had slaves in America also. And people would buy and sell slaves very much like they buy cars or houses or any other thing. This is an evil that Scripture speaks about, but that's a different subject that we're not going to talk about today. But the concept that when Paul was writing to this church, they understood the idea that a person, especially a non-believer, could go downtown where they would buy and sell slaves, and he would pick somebody, and he would buy them, pay a price for them. And what is interesting, if that was you, or if that was me, and I purchased you and I paid a price for you, that meant, the meaning of that is that because I paid a price for you, you now belong to me, and you have to do what I command you to do. Now, Jesus Christ, in one sense, he bought us from Satan or from the slave market of sin. He redeemed us. He paid the price. But what Jesus actually does is once he liberated us from sin, he actually sets us free. And although we are slaves, we're bond servants of Jesus Christ. By bond servants, it means we serve Jesus as his slaves, not because he specifically paid the price for us, although that's part of the reason. But the main reason is because of our love for him in return for what he's done for us. Now, Paul takes this very same idea of our redemption from sin and makes a contrast with our life and with our time. Paul says, the time that you have left from today until the day you die is the time that God has redeemed you from your former previous life. Remember in chapter 2, at one time you were dead in trespasses and sin. Now refers to time. Now God has redeemed you. God has given you time from today until you die to live for him. And in this time you are to walk worthy in unity, in love, in light, separated from the world. All of these things are to be done wisely, knowing how to spend your time. And Paul takes this idea one step further. He says, walk carefully. Last Sunday we talked about the word carefully, wisely. It's very carefully because there's danger all around. If you, as a Christian, realize that Satan wants you to stumble and fall, you will live carefully in your life, and you will treat your time as a gift that God gives you. Everything we have comes from God. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Is not our time something that God in his mercy gives us? How do you spend your time? How do you evaluate your time? David writes in Psalm 90, teach us to number or to count our days. Although we don't know when we will die, but the idea, David says, is if I live to 70 like most people, or if I live till 80 like a few people, or maybe even more than that, it is because of the mercy of God. And so teach us to live wisely. The same idea that Paul uses here. So God has set up our life so that theoretically it will end at a specific time. So do you know when your death will come and when your 12 o'clock will come? No, you don't. And because you don't know, that is why Paul says, take the time God's given you, use it wisely, buy it, and if you pay a price for it, it will become more precious to you. And so in talking about wisdom, Paul will go on. He says, you redeem the time because the days are evil. Evil is the time we live in. Evil is what Satan does in the world. From the days of Adam and Eve sinning until the second coming of Jesus Christ, the world will be full of evil. The word from the Greek translated includes the idea of being morally loose. In other words, living an immoral lifestyle. And that includes our thinking, our speech, and our physical activity. And so because the days are evil, because we live in the society we live in, Paul says you have to walk very, very carefully. You have to be aware of your time. You have to evaluate your time and use it maximum for God's glory. And so that is my prayer for you today as I leave you this scripture. May God bless his word. Amen.